The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 14. We'll be reading verses 25 through 33. And if you'd like to follow along with a Bible from the back of the pew, you can turn to page 874. Or if you have a newer version, it's on 821.
Hey, Megan. So yeah. I messed up the order. And just because I messed up doesn't mean we have to sit for the reading of God's word. So can we stand for the reading of God's word?
Luke 14, verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether is he able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." This is God's word.
Amen.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. Grateful you're with us as we kind of close out our series looking at the core DNA that makes up Life Connection. That's what we've been doing over the last several weeks, and this morning we are landing that plane by thinking through the significance of personal disciple making. So I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't know much about Jesus. And my experience was looking back on things, I saw discipleship happening in my own life long before I ever understood what that word meant. To be a disciple is just simply to follow Jesus, to be changed by Jesus, and to live for Jesus' mission. And discipleship is the process of helping others do just that. Helping one another follow hard after Jesus, helping one another grow up in Christ, that we would be changed from the inside out to look more and more like him over time. Helping one another live for Christ's mission here in our own area and well beyond. Like, that's the simple idea of disciple making, discipleship. Like, if we want to grow as a missional community of truth, beauty, and generosity, that's the DNA that makes up Life Connection. If we want to grow as a missional community of truth, beauty, and generosity, that's going to happen as we grow as disciples of Jesus. And that process of growing as disciples of Jesus is a very personal endeavor. It is personal disciple making because we're not primarily talking about classroom environments. We're not primarily talking about what happens in settings like this. We're talking about what happens over and across tables and over meals around a living room, talking about the deep things of God in such a way that we're helping one another follow hard after Jesus. That's the simple idea of discipleship, working in deliberate ways for another person's spiritual good. That's what we want to be about as a local church. That's the pathway by which we want to help one another follow hard after Jesus. And so this passage is really helpful because it unpacks several key facets of personal disciple making. What does it look like for us to live as disciples and to be people who are discipling others, helping others pursue Jesus and grow up in Jesus? This is a process. Personal disciple making is a process for every Christian. Like, that's going to be the challenge that I lay before everyone in the room who calls Jesus Lord and Savior. If you're a follower of Jesus, then personal disciple-making is for you. Not only as someone who is striving to follow after Jesus and wants to grow up in Christ, but also that you could be the kind of person who's helping others pursue Jesus, grow up in Jesus, and live for Jesus' mission. And so this passage has some very helpful encouragement and challenge for us this morning. And so what we're going to see is that personal disciple-making is the work of every Christ follower. Every Christ follower is called to be a part of personal disciple-making. And so the thing that we want to see as Jesus interacts with the crowd here, the first thing that we need to see is that discipleship is not optional. It's not optional. We see this from the very setting of this passage, verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father or mother or wife or child or brothers or sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. The setting is Jesus speaking to the crowds. He's not merely talking to his 12 disciples, those closest associates of his. He's speaking to crowds who have been following after him, who are enamored by what's happening, wondering what sorts of things are going to occur through his teaching, through his ministry. They're intrigued, they're interested. And he's saying in this moment to those crowds, discipleship is not optional. It's the call on everyone's life who wants to follow after Jesus. It's not just for the 12, but it's for everyone. That's what we must understand. The sacrificial discipleship that's required is for all people. If we want to follow after Jesus, then the invitation is to be his disciple, to be a learner, to be an apprentice. You see, Jesus isn't just putting on some road show. He's trying to unpack for these people what it means to live in the way of God, to follow after him, to have their lives changed and transformed. And so the invitation is for anyone who hears Jesus' voice to follow him. This isn't just for some special class of Christians. This is for anyone who is a Christ follower. I mean, the invitation that Jesus has for anyone who would come after him is to follow him and be with him. I mean, this is the very word that Jesus gives as he chooses his 12 disciples whom he calls apostles. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus appointed 12 whom he also named apostles so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. Up to that point in Mark chapter 3, that second half, to preach, to heal, to cast out demons, that's what Jesus has been doing. And so what Jesus is saying here, he's choosing these 12 to do the very things that he's been doing. But that's not all, and that's maybe not even most significant, because he says he chooses them that they would be with him. You see, the invitation is to be with Jesus, to know him, to have our lives changed by him, to learn how to walk in the way of Jesus, that we might be people who live for his mission, who are helping others find life in Christ. There's this invitation to have a life-giving relationship with Jesus, to know him, to walk with him, to be his friend. Like, that's the invitation this morning. Like, for anyone who would want to have their lives revolutionized from the inside out, the invitation is to give yourself over to Jesus, to find life in him, to find hope in him, to find salvation in Christ, that we might grow close to Jesus over time. And as we do so, that we might become the kinds of people who are helping others do the same. You see, we've said it from the very beginning of this series. What God has done in you, he wants to do through you. And so if you know Jesus, then you have now been given the Spirit of God that you could be the kind of person who helps others find life in Jesus and grow up in Jesus. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you've given your life over to Jesus and he is empowering you by his Spirit to live for him, to walk with him, to be changed by him, but also to help others experience the same. Personal disciple making is the work of every Christ follower. And so discipleship isn't optional, but discipleship is also loving Jesus above all else. This is what he means when he says in verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In the first century world, life revolved around the family unit. And not just the nuclear family, the immediate family, but an extended family. Everything centered around the family. And Jesus is often teaching in very startling ways. He's trying to jar us, to jolt us, to shake us a bit by saying something that's quite provocative. Like, does he mean that there is supposed to be hostility towards one's family if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus? The reality is nobody understands Jesus to be saying that. He's not saying that there should be some active hostility towards others. I mean, we know that because of what he says elsewhere in the Gospels and the testimony and the teaching of the entire New Testament. What he's doing is he's trying to create a comparative. Like, we're supposed to look at our allegiance, our love towards our family, and our love for Jesus is to make that pale by comparison. Like, we're supposed to love Jesus above everything else, including our own selves, he says. And so we're supposed to, like, he's taking us, jarring us in this moment to cause us not to move on too quickly. Well, Jesus doesn't mean hate your family, so let's just move on. No, instead, we should be asking a question right now. Is my allegiance and love to Jesus greater than anything else? That's the question that Jesus wants for us. He wants us to recognize that our love for him is to be greater and above all else. I mean, really, this is the very heart of the Christian life, having rightly ordered loves. Having our allegiance set on Jesus supremely above all, and having our loves rightly ordered. We ought to love our family. We ought to love our parents, our spouses, our children, our friends. We ought not have hostility towards ourselves. But those loves need to be rightly ordered under a supreme allegiance and love to King Jesus. What he's saying is we should love Jesus more than familial love. Romantic love, friendship love, parental love. Our love for Jesus ought to rightly make those pale by comparison. Discipleship isn't optional. Discipleship is loving Jesus above all else. Personal disciple making is the work of every Christ follower. And so thirdly, discipleship is counting the cost. That's the point of the two parables that he uses. Verse 28, for which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not sit down, first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it. Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all will see and begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he will send a delegation and ask for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Discipleship is counting the cost. I mean, that's the point of these stories. There's careful calculation of the cost. that there is a cost in following Jesus. In many ways, this ought not surprise us, because anything that matters comes with a cost. I mean, any pursuit that we have, anything that we hope to achieve or accomplish that is of any significance whatsoever, it's gonna come with a cost. Like, think about what you hope to achieve in this year or in this next season of life. If you haven't yet, there's going to come a moment where you're going to have to examine what the costs will be to get to that destination. I mean, it's been said that to become an expert at anything in life, it's going to take 10,000 hours. It's going to take a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of investment. It's going to come with great effort and great cost. And Jesus is saying, so it is with following him, that we need to count the cost that we might follow Jesus. You see, it's going to take work to grow close to Jesus. Again, this ought not surprise us. Any relationship that we have that has any depth to it whatsoever took time and energy to cultivate. And so if we think that if we desire to walk closely with Jesus, we're not just going to stumble into that. It's not just going to happen to us. It's going to take great effort and energy to pursue Christ that we might walk with him. It's going to take a lot of work to grow in maturity. I mean, this ought not surprise us. Nobody stumbles into godliness. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, that we have to train ourselves for godliness. And so if we want to grow up in maturity in Christ, it's going to take energy and effort. It's going to cost something. It's going to take work to grow with others. It's going to take time out of our schedule. It's going to take us planning and preparing to make it happen. I mean, the world that we live in, nobody just stumbles into time with others. Like, we're going to have to be diligent and make effort to count the cost that we might pursue Jesus in those kinds of ways. So there's a cost involved in following Jesus, and yet the payoff, the reward, is beyond measure. The joy of growing close to Christ, to growing maturity in Christ, cultivating a depth of relationship with brothers and sisters in the local church. I mean, there's a great joy that comes with the energy and effort and cost that's going to be required. And so we need to count the cost, as he closes out, for kingdom purposes. I mean, this is the point, I think, of 34 and 35. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. See, there's a usefulness to salt. In the ancient world, there were many different uses, but here he's highlighting the usefulness for fertilization, preparing the soil, preparing the fertilizer, and salt served a significant purpose in that regard. But what happened, as it was mixed with impurities, it became diluted in its qualities. And as it becomes more and more diluted over time by those impurities being combined with it, it loses its saltiness, he says. It loses its purpose. Well, in this, he's trying to tell us something about our commitment to the Lord. As we strive to count the cost, to see the energy and effort that's required to live for kingdom purposes, we have to count the cost so that we could have an effectiveness for kingdom purposes. You see, those of us who have given our lives over to Jesus, who are following Jesus, who are being changed by Jesus, who are living for Jesus' mission, we want to be useful for kingdom purposes. We want to be useful for what the Lord has set before us. We want to be the kinds of people who are helping others find life in Christ. We want to be the kinds of people who are helping other Christians grow up in Jesus. And he's saying we need to count the cost, because if we don't, we're going to lose in effectiveness. Like, if we're not diligently pursuing after Jesus, and we're just watching life go by, if we're not investing for our spiritual growth, if we're not investing in others, if we're not involved in environments that are going to help us rub shoulders with one another and grow up in Jesus and help others grow up in Jesus, he says we're going to lose an effectiveness for Christ's kingdom. You see, if you count the cost in following after Jesus and live for his kingdom purposes, you can have a tremendous influence in the lives of people for their spiritual good and benefit. And that's what Jesus wants us to see in this section, is that he's inviting us in that we might know him and that we might live for his purposes. And in order to do that, we need to recognize that discipleship is not optional, that we're to love Jesus above all else, and that we need to count the cost that we might live for kingdom purposes. Personal disciple making is the work of every Christ follower. And so how might we walk with Jesus in everyday life? What might that look like? Well, I think first off, recognizing this call in verse 27 to take up our cross, to follow Jesus, is a reminder that we're to be identified with Christ. Like, we're to be the kinds of people, we're to think on what God has done for us in Jesus. I mean, isn't it interesting that the symbol, the essential symbol of the Christian faith is an instrument of death? And it's because Jesus bore a penalty on our behalf that we might know him, that we might enter into his family, that we might not be found guilty and punished for our waywardness. But if we place faith and trust in Christ, we can know him and we can walk with him. And so what that means for us in the everyday is that we are to think upon what God has done for us in Jesus, that we might rest in an identity that's found in Christ. Like, if I know Jesus, it's only because of Christ's sacrifice. And so we need to be the kinds of people who take up that cross daily, remembering what God has done for us in Christ, that we might rest in him and find our identity in him. And we need to be people who are walking together for this kind of growth. We need others. Like, we're not intended to walk this path on our own, but we're intended to walk with brothers and sisters that we might be a help and an encouragement along the way. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, "You then, my child," Paul writing to Timothy, "be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also." All of us need a Paul in our life. Paul, invest in Timothy for his spiritual good and his benefit. We all need a Timothy in our lives that we can invest in, help grow in Christ. We all need peers. He says this work was done in the presence of many witnesses. We need people that we can journey together with, who can encourage us along the way. Like, we're not intended to walk this path on our own, and God has given us his church so that we don't have to. But if we don't count the cost, and we stand to the side, and we let life happen all around us, and we don't engage, we don't get involved, we're going to miss out on the great blessing of the people of God. And in this, as we walk together, we create a countercultural witness. The world around us knows what life lived for oneself looks like. The world around us knows what putting our family calendar at the center of all existence looks like. That's what we do. Like, that's what we know. But when the people of God follow after Jesus and do so in a way that they're walking together in Christ. That creates a different kind of picture of what it might look like to live in this world. There's a freedom to be found when Jesus is at the center. There's a freedom to be found when we walk together in community, pursuing hard after Jesus. And so together, those of us who call Life Connection home, who are followers of Jesus, we have this opportunity to create a countercultural witness, inviting people to find life in Jesus, to grow up in Jesus, that they too might live for Jesus' mission. And so every week we come to this moment where we observe the Lord's Supper because we have to remember it's by Christ's sacrifice that we're able to enter into his family. It's that very instrument of death, the cross, that brings life and freedom of life to you and me. And so if you know Jesus, this is an invitation for you to come forward, to take a piece of that bread which represents his broken body, to take that cup which represents his shed blood, and to eat and to drink, remembering what God has done for you in Christ, that we might worship him, and we might celebrate new life in Jesus, that we might be changed from the inside out, that we might live as his people together here in the city. Personal disciple making is the work of every Christ follower. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have spoken to us by it. Lord, we want to be those people that Jesus calls, those who have ears, we want to hear. We want to hear your voice through your word this morning. And we want to hear your voice through your word in very specific ways. Like, where are the spots in my life that I need to take steps to grow? Where do I need to be challenged to repent of some things that I might embrace what you have for me? What is the very specific step that I need to take in this moment that I might experience your grace and mercy and kindness? And so, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done in and through Jesus. And we pray in these moments to come that you'll help us to center our minds and our hearts on him, that we might become the kinds of people who love Jesus above all else. And we pray this in his name. Amen.